Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, we have some interesting topics today. I was telling you guys off the air in our pre-production meeting that today for me was an introvert's worst nightmare, in that we're in like late afternoon now and people have been just like dumping words into me all day. So if I just like get up and walk out of the room, if you hear like a door click, that's why. I'm just having a little alone time.
Listeners will not even be surprised. That'll just be like, oh, Ted's, you know, he used to open mail and eat granola bars. Sometimes he just says he doesn't care. Getting up and walking out, it is on brand.
Dude, I might do a little granola bar eating too, man. I'm on this new diet, this new deal. So not hating life yet, which is good. But
new year, new you. Good job, Ted.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to get scrawny, but just like a little bit scrawnier, you know.
Gotcha.
If you've seen me, you know that I could stand to get a little bit scrawny.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Ronnie could not, however.
No, Ronnie has nothing left to give, but he's just pushing through. Ronnie's going for like, I don't know. I was about to say like three things and they're all offensive. So I'm not going to say any of them. My filter still works. That's good. Pipe, we have business. We have a sponsor, and I want you to tell us about the sponsor, okay?
I need to start the sponsorship with an apology because this particular sponsor has done so before. And I found out like a week ago that I have been mispronouncing their name.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more embarrassing than having somebody be like, you know, very polite, but just actually the name is pronounced like this. So I've been saying Edelsberger for Renee, who is the author of James, a study on James called James, Mature in Every Way. It's actually pronounced closer to Edelsberger, as in like the singer Adele is eating a hamburger. So Edelsberger.
Yeah.
So my apologies to them and to listeners for my lack of professionalism and research. And, you know, that's just poor performance on my part. So my apologies.
Dude, you know what though? I hung out with the Edelsbergers the other day, man, in person, in the flesh.
Is it Edelsberger? Is it Edelsberger? Is it Edelsberger?
Like, I just screwed it up because I was saying Edelsberger too. And,
he said
they were very cool about it. They were very subtle in their correction. I felt like not chastised, but, you know, just like I learned, but then I just reverted back then. So, yeah, my apologies too now.
Well, yes, mea culpa, you a culpa. We're all guilty except for Ronnie because he doesn't jump in on this one.
Speak of them.
I would never speak of Edelsberger. Yeah. I mean, I like my burgers. That's just hasn't been in my top. You know, it's not in my burger list quite yet. But you guys are, you know, I'm getting there. Yeah. Give me a minute.
Pipe, has there ever been a NFL quarterback? Well, Roethlisberger. I was going to say with the suffix
exactly
burger.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Let's see. I feel like there might be another one too. Roethlisberger for sure. I feel like there might be another one, but yeah, as discussed on the recently released at the time of this recording, Happy Rant Sports Podcast.
Yeah, a little plug.
We discussed the quality of quarterback names and how that affects their play. So that's not the sponsorship though. The sponsorship is James, Mature in Every Way, a study aimed at students that Renee wrote. If you go to astudyofjames.com, you can actually download it for free, which means that if you are a Bible study leader, a youth pastor, a pastor of a church, small group leader, or just looking to dig into the book of James, there's no reason not to do this because all you have to do is go there and download, and it costs you nothing. And it runs the gamut from theological study to a little bit of background, cultural background, to practical application, and really looking at how the book of James walks people into spiritual maturity. If you work with students especially, you know that is a thing that is of utmost importance. And if you're an adult, you still need that too. So go to astudyofjames.com, download the study by Renee. I looked through it. It's really well designed. It's very well done. And there is no reason not to do that. So go check that out.
Absolutely, Pipe. And there's also no reason not to go to happyrantpodcast.com and order a bag of Ligaris Roasters coffee. This is the best coffee you will ever have. That's my plug about Ligaris, short and sweet. Also, no reason not to run to the same website and check out Together for the Rant. This is live in Louisville, too. It's happening in April. It's happening in conjunction with some other Reformed conference that's happening in the same city at the same time. Pipe, can they still get in under the window to get the cheaper ticket price? Is that still a thing?
They can. That's through the end of January. So this episode will be dropping on, what is it, Monday the 15th? 15th, I think. And so, yeah, they'll have about 2 weeks left. So $10 tickets until the end of January, at which point they jump to 15. So if you or a group of you are intending to be there at Together for the Rant, may as well take advantage of the discount now, because after that, tickets go up just a little bit.
And are we still looking for event sponsors, Pipe, or have those all sold out?
We still have room for sponsors. I'm working with a couple couple organizations on sort of the primo sponsorships, but if there are, you know, there, we have room for sponsoring some of the, like the refreshments or some giveaways or different kinds of things. So if there are listeners who are part of an organization who would be interested in sponsoring, go to, just hit us up at happyrantpodcast@gmail.com and we can negotiate.
Negotiating. I love it. We're businessmen. That's what we do. We make deals. Right. We'll make a deal with you if you hit us up. And Pipe, I want to talk about some other people who make deals. Okay. You shared a link with us and I laughed out loud the minute I saw the link, because it's an organization called Newsmax, newsmax.com. And what Newsmax has done, they've ranked the top 100 evangelicals in the world, which is proof that everything has now been ranked. There's nothing on the planet that hasn't been ranked now that we've done this. And this thing is hilarious. Have you boys had a chance to look this list over?
Baby, I'm looking at it literally as you speak, and it is it's mind-boggling.
I was waiting until this episode to open the link and really look at it, because I felt like it would spoil the pleasure if I dug into it too soon.
Piper, I have so many questions for you first about this. Like, what do we know about Newsmax? Can you tell me anything about
this? All I know
is
that if I see like a word combined with Max, my evangelical guilt kicks in, because it's like, what is it, Cinemax or Skinemax, or like it is one of those channels that you don't look at when you are at a hotel. So Newsmax makes me very nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. Newsmax looks like delightfully crappy as a website, in that there's all kinds of like clickbaity ads all over the place. There's pop-ups. There's ridiculous like links to other headlines. Newsmax is exactly who I want ranking the top 100 evangelicals in America. Pipe, what is your response to, how do we want to chunk this out? Let's just take the top. Let's talk about the top five right now. Piper, I want you to look over the top five and just respond to it.
All right. Well, let me read them off real quick for listeners in case they have not had the chance to encounter this viral link. We've got Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Joel Osteen, Mike Huckabee, and Pat Robertson.
Nice.
That is our top five most influential evangelicals in the world. Boy, how do you respond to such a thing? I feel like there's a bit of an issue with calling Joel Osteen Absolutely. An evangelical, because I feel like you have to at least give some head nod to the Bible to be an evangelical. So like, even if you abuse it mercilessly, you have to at least like quote a verse periodically. So like, some of these other guys are horrendous with their use of scripture, but at least they like, they're familiar with their this thing called scripture. Osteen, I don't believe he is. I'm a little not keen on that. Franklin Graham, number two, that's a lot higher than I would have thought. I think that might be the shocker of the list in terms of just the ranking. Is just really?
Yeah. Some of these rankings are just absolutely astonishing. But I'm going to read you some of the side headlines on Newsmax. Okay. Here's one. This is a headline that we could pursue if we so chose. Amazing: see the dad bod killer in action. All right.
Well, I don't have that one on mine. They must know something about – oh, no, there it is. Never mind. I was going to say, they must know something about you that they don't know about me.
Yeah, yeah. See also my diet. Next headline, Zeta Jones thrilled with her 72-year-old husband. Amazing. This is just the credibility of Newsmax is just climbing with every second that I spend on this website. Okay, let's look at some other notables on this list. Rick Warren just misses the top five.
The fact that he comes in behind Pat Robertson is, I mean, that is America in a nutshell right there. Rick Warren right behind Pat Robertson.
All right, we have Creflo Dollar coming in at number 12. He of the private plane, et cetera, preaches a gospel of wealth from his megachurches, according to Newsmax.com.
Like it's like printed there with zero irony.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, zero irony and probably lots of admiration. So now the curious thing for me, and Big R, I want you to chime in on this, John Piper. So we have to go all the way down to number 22 before we see a Piper on the list. John Piper makes it. This is how
in all truth, I had no idea he was on this list.
And he's described as such one of the most prolific Calvinist writers of our time. Piper has authored more than 50 books on the Christian faith. And he weighs in at number 22. And I tell you, he snuck in front of a guy named Ted Baer, who like counts cuss words and breasts in movies. So he made the list at number 24.
Also ahead of the Green family of Hobby Lobby power and wealth. So good job, Dad. Where's my money?
Dude, seriously. Yeah, good job, John Piper. That's amazing. You know what? Curiously omitted from this list is the three of us. So the very first thing I did was scrolled through all 100 and you know, none of us.
You did the Barnabas Piper end of year book list exercise. Scroll through and see if you can find your name anywhere.
Right. Am I even here? Big R, as you look at this list, what jumps out to you as far as who's on it and who's ranked where?
Try to keep it clean, Ronnie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, a little bit, Big T, I'm with you. I'm a little offended that we're not on this list. I mean, that makes it hard for me to even scroll through the list if I'm being honest with you right now, you know?
Yeah.
It makes it difficult. I just love what just kills me is like what they consider an evangelical, right? So, man, I mean, I'm just scrolling through, right? So I'm looking at guys like Mike Huckabee. I'm looking at guys like Mike Pence, what considered an evangelical, Sarah Palin considered an evangelical. So it's weird like how they, I mean, I'm surprised Johnny P is even on the list, you know, like when you kind of look at some of the other names, right?
Yeah.
The fact that he's seven spots above Tim Keller, and Dave Ramsey is one spot above Tim Keller. Like this list is just a hot mess of like, this is just
R.C. Sproul makes the list, but they failed to mention that he passed away like 2 weeks
ago. What number is Sproul?
Sproul is 34, but then here's kind of a shocker. Then you get a guy like John MacArthur, who's 39, but here's even a bigger shocker. Like, why is Bill Hybels number 40? Hybels should have been way further up this list, right?
Hey, what is Hybels up to these days, man? Back when I used to think about Hybels, which albeit was not a lot ever. But he's like the CEO of like the Willow Creek franchise, right? Is that still a thing for him?
Yeah, I think he recently, like within the last year, announced his forthcoming retirement from the pastorate of Willow Creek Church. And then so because they announced the tandem of pastors who will replace him. I mean, in terms of influential, like his influence on the mega church and the attractional church in America is, I mean, it's untold. What Willow Creek did to shape and model other churches. Like there are churches who are modeling themselves after Willow Creek that don't even know who Willow Creek is.
He should be way higher on the list, in my opinion. Yeah. Way higher. You know what I mean? And then I think when you get to, and here's a couple that just kind of crack me up a little bit. No disrespect, but when we get to 54 and 55, 54 being Kirk Cameron. Okay. Like, I get it. You know, like, whether it's a ha-ha moment for us or not, you know, like, he's a guy that, you know, he's a name. But then right below him is his sister, Candace Cameron Burr. And I'm just thinking, like, wait, she's an influential evangelical.
Followed by, and they're sandwiched with Jeremy Lin at 53 and Tim Tebow at 56. So this is, like, the entertainment portion because we've got athlete, actor, actress, former athlete.
How does Jeremy Lin end up ranked higher than Tim Tebow on this list? He had like one good season, which I know because I wrote an
ebook. He had like one good 22 game stretch.
Is that he had a good 22 game stretch. Titled "Lindescribable" to go with that song.
Lindescribable.
Keep singing it.
He was uncontainable for a while.
He was uncontainable for 22 games.
Lindescribable, exactly. Lincontainable. How many Lins can fit onto those words in that song?
Yeah. So Tebow is below him, and Tebow I feel like is still worshipped by a lot of evangelicals. He's still on TV a lot. I feel like this number 56 ranking for him is a slap in the face. I'm sure he's crushed by this if he reads Newsmax.
Absolutely. Which he's Newsmax a lot, baby. He's on it a lot for sure.
Now, Pipe, should we make Big R read out loud the banner ad along the bottom of the website? Is it?
I hit the little X on that, so I made it go away, but which means I need him to read it so I know what it
Big
says.
Big R, do you still have it?
Baby, I don't have it.
You can't read it because this would cause friction with a certain unnamed someone in your church sphere.
Yes, I made it go away so that I could, because it just annoys me when things are hovering over my screen. But yes, it was I believe it was a male enhancement advertisement.
Yeah, it said, men, eat this, ... never have ED.
Wow.
Yeah.
Run and hide, Ronald.
Yeah, Big R, I'm not asking you to comment on that one way or another because you are better than that.
guys, number 65 is Beth Moore. Can we just chat about that? Hey, Beth.
Matt Walsh made it onto the list above Jen Hatmaker, which is just fascinating because of how wildly divergent those two are as human beings.
How is Jenny Hatmaker not higher on the list? I figured she would be.
How is Beth Moore not higher on the list, man? At 65? I mean,
good question.
Gosh.
Triple E made the list.
Priscilla is just phenomenal to me. I have to admit, no diss on him. It's just that's phenomenal.
Why is that phenomenal? I feel like he's a big deal.
Is he a big deal? I just don't see how he's a big deal.
Well, how is Lecrae on this list anywhere?
Or Triple E? Never mind. I thought we were talking about Lecrae.
And then, you're trying to tell me. Then you get down, and then you're looking at somebody like what? Like a Tomlin isn't higher than a Triple E? I mean, it's like, you know, 98% of the churches in America are still singing all of his songs every Sunday. How is he not more influential? It's just crazy to me.
Dude, how about 64 Metaxa?
Yeah, I know.
Our boy, Metaxa.
I know.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, the fact that Chris Tomlin's not like top 10 on here is nuts because not only is every church singing his songs, even if they don't believe the words, but every worship leader between the ages of 20 and 44 who's male is trying to sound exactly like him too.
Mm.
Like he has influenced the church side of things and the industry of Christian music. He's much more influential than – I don't know, almost anyone on this list.
And you know what? Here's what's funny, man. So when you get down to like 91, 92, I actually agree with some of these that people might be, you know, like Eugene Peterson, 91, Russell Moore, 92. Those guys are a little more tribal, so I kind of get that. I get that they're a little bit down on the list. You know what I mean? Not everybody's heard of them, but they, you know, well.
Ferdy made it in at 97.
Ferdy was 97?
Just above Andy Stanley.
That's a type. Why is Andy Stanley 98? I think that's phenomenal.
Hmm. Yeah, I think maybe because he hasn't made the news recently, like he hasn't rocked the boat enough recently to climb the list.
Boys, here's something I didn't know that I just learned about Eric Metaxas. Are you ready?
Metaxi
has created scripts for the Christian-based children's show VeggieTales. Did we know this about our boy Metaxi?
I never knew that.
Back in the day, he was a little like hipster writer's garret in New York City banging out scripts for VeggieTales about like talking fruits and vegetables.
Gosh, no wonder why he went so far, Big T. I mean, this you can amazing. See it now. You can see why everything took off for him now. It just all makes
sense. Is a launch pad. I wonder what his episodes were about. You know what I mean? I wonder if they were kind of like deep sociopolitical statements.
He did the apple one. He did the apple episode that time.
It's the best fruit, you know.
He did the apple one and the asparagus one.
Asparagus.
My two favorite episodes of all time.
Yeah, asparagus. Kind of a superfood, you know. Controversial.
Yeah, exactly. I would never watch any episode that wasn't written by Metaxi. I'm just telling you right now.
All right,
let me ask you this,
just conceptually. Of all the authors we know, all right, every author in our sphere, who is the most likely to have also written VeggieTales episodes back in the late 90s?
Oh my gosh.
Who else has that writing credit? Like way down on their resume.
I just had 19 people come to mind immediately, and I'm afraid to say every single one of them.
Really?
I think Russell Moore. Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Like not arguing about politics, you know, or except they would have done it like it would have been like running for, I don't know, playground president or something like that. And and people would have picked sides, and then he would have had to find like the third way, the middle ground, the let's keep our convictions in the middle of all of this.
But yeah, let's vote for the onion.
He's like a sneaky, clever person who has all these other sort of closeted interests. Like he reads comic books and loves old school country music. And like he just has these sort of creative and elements that are not, you know, you don't think of when you think of evangelical theologian types. So I could see that being in his past.
Yeah. His episode would have been watchable. I'll give him that. Big R, who are you calling for a VeggieTales episode, and what would it be like?
Dude, I have no idea. What, like the blonde guy from DC Talk,
Kevin Max?
Kevin Max. Dude, I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of the most humiliating thing that one of these guys would have done because they would have gotten paid a lot of money to do it back in the day. You know, what would his episode would have been on? Oh, dude,
it would have been about a boy band collection of like vegetables, right?
Either that or it would have been something they would have tried to get out like some of his angst on that he couldn't on the DC Talk records because there were no angst on those records. But
he would have gone a little darker on VeggieTales. It was kind of
exactly right. Like the asparagus has a bad day and then like the carrot comes up and like they don't know how to deal with each other because they're like different colors or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that, baby. I'd watch that.
You know, just starting to swim in some of those racial waters, you know, back in the day.
It was an issue show. It really was.
It was. It was a big issue.
Yeah. Boys,
What's the biggest takeaway, you guys? Like when you just look at this list, what's one thing that you're just like, wow, that jumps off at me at about the whole thing?
Because this is just had to write it.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
is there a credit on this? Like, is there a byline? Jen Cross.
Who? Jen Cross.
Yeah, Jen. So either kudos or criticisms to Jen. I'm not sure which.
Compilation list. It's like everybody always thinks that it should be, you know, sort of like assembled to their own choosing, right? So you can never read a list without thinking I would have put this person ahead of this person. But this one, oddly enough, seems like this one just seems really, really like just ignorant, you know?
You know what? In defense of Jen Cross, though, I couldn't have done this. You know what I mean? Even at my most like desperate as a writer, like do anything for a payday, like this would have been really hard. You know what I'm saying?
In defense of Ken Ham, I could not have done this. In defense of, you know, Donald Miller, I would have never been able to do this.
Well, not being able to do this in large part is because this very clearly shows, I mean, if this is a snapshot of American evangelicalism, it very clearly shows that nobody knows what the hee-haw evangelicalism is.
Yeah.
Because there are people on here who don't believe in Jesus, and there are people on here who would condemn literally 95% of this list to hell. And they're all evangelicals, apparently. They believe opposite things, and yet they're on the same list. So,
boys, let me ask you this. Who in our sphere would have read this and been most bummed to not be on it? Like legitimately bummed.
Stephen L. Trogi.
I think we know, but I'm afraid to say so.
Trogs is like, hey, I've got like two podcasts and a website. Why am
only
I
only two?
I don't know. I've lost track.
It's hard to tell which ones are active at any given time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like there's like eight of them on like
that, though. That means he has a lot to draw from, right? Like, what am I in the mood for this week? You know, what am I in the mood to do? I'll just take my pick. Just grab my bundle of podcasts and pick the one that suits me.
You know, he's an artist. He's not a jaded businessman like we are, just putting out content week after week.
Well, that's what happens when success hits you, Big T. That's right.
You grapple with these things, you know. Sometimes, boys, you have to just show up to work. I feel like we're what Reformdom loves. We're just plotting visionaries on the show. You know, we're just plotting forward. We're not out for the glitz and the glamour and the top.
Just ordinary, normal guys, right?
Ordinary guys.
Normal guys.
Putting our khaki pants on one leg at a time, you know. boys, I have a question for you. I'll be honest, and I'm going to be honest with the audience in saying that I haven't really pored over the list in great detail. But this question is going to serve as a bridge to our next topic, which is when I was a kid and when we were all kids, really, there was a particular Christian artist, a singer named Carmen. And he was a large Italian gentleman with lots of chest hair. He was kind of sweaty. And I don't remember a lot about Carmen, except that he kind of touched all the genres. There was kind of like a country line dancing Carmen phase. There was rap Carmen when he was in a puffy purple jacket. And every other phase that you can imagine, kind of like, you know, Sinatra-esque crooner era Carmen. And Piper, you sent us a link indicating that Carmen is now in the life coaching business. I want to first ask, how did you find this? Like,
because we have awesome listeners who know exactly what we need when we need it. Uh-huh. That was a listener share, and it was perfect.
It is perfect. And Pipe, what I'd like for you to do, since you're a writer, you're a man of letters, I want you to just pop open the Carmen Life Coaching website and pick a couple of sentences at random to read dramatically, and Ron and I will respond to it. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just go with this slogan. Psychiatry cures the past. Advice corrects the present. Life coaching creates the future.
As though your future won't be created without life coaching.
That's right. To clarify that, in a sense, I am that man outside of your fire who can see clearly and help you navigate the way to go to create the future you really want.
Wow. Interesting. As I look at these pictures of Carmen, I'm just going to describe what I'm seeing. Top of the website is sort of business Carmen. If the business is like hijacking a truck and selling cigarettes off of the back of it. So what you've got is a black pinstripe suit and a dress shirt, a white dress shirt unbuttoned like down to the navel. Okay. That's the first picture. And then we have a picture of like a shiny leather jacket, Carmen in a fedora, like chewing on the, what do you call that part of the sunglasses that like goes over to your ear? What do we call that? The arm of the sunglasses. And then
sure. Roll with that. Yeah.
There's like deep V-neck shirt, Carmen. Are you guys seeing these same pictures? Here's the thing about
yes.
Oh yeah.
I like the one where he's holding like what looks to be like a flip phone, like he's posing for like an ad for like
buy sell telephones buy sell
from the 1980s.
Here's the thing. I don't want this Carmen anywhere near my fire. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't even want.
But he's out. But he's outside the fire. That's the whole point.
Guys, I am clicking on, there's a bronze, a silver, and a gold package. I'm clicking on the gold package to see what this is going to set me back. Because obviously, I'm grabbing my card right now
and package?
Figuring out how I can do this. The gold membership. Oh, baby, it's not that much. Not bad, it's only $200 a month. $200 a month. It's not bad at all. I mean, it's making me think, why aren't we offering life coaching at the Rant?
Big R, tell the listeners what you'll get for $200 a month.
You know, for $200 a month, this is what Carmen has to say, man. I've had nearly every client I've worked with ask for a special rate that's more affordable. I know it takes many sessions to get the results you desire, so now I offer an easy commitment that will save you $50 a session. And as a gold member bonus, wait for it, boys. Each month I will give you my personal favorite top five songs to encourage you in your one-on-one journey together with me.
Ooh.
Does that mean he will serenade us for $200?
I'm literally like I just read that. That wasn't a joke.
So do we get the songs in person or is it like a mixtape?
I think he's – no, I don't think – well, yeah, that's a good question, man. It's a – yeah, it's a
– is he writing?
I love that. I mean, dude, I love how he's just going to tell you his top five favorite songs.
I love that.
Like, dude, just tell me what songs encourage you and then like what? I'll go to like – YouTube, like I'll go to Spotify. Like, is that how I go and get them?
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I don't know how it works.
And that's how we do our one-on-one journey together, is that you just tell me.
You know what? If we had more supporters on Patreon, what's that thing people are supporting? Patreon. Let's get a Patreon sponsor to sponsor us to get a gold membership so that one of us can sign up and go immersive and really see what this entails. I think that needs to happen.
Hey, I want you guys to click click the about link and then tell me how we can possibly figure out how to pronounce his last name.
All right.
And I expect some kind of reaction. Goodness. Thank you, Pipe.
Carmen Dominic Licciardello?
Licciardello.
Licciardello? His Italian grandmother is very proud of him, and his Italian grandfather wonders why he's not in the – goodness, why he's not in the mob. Like, that is a
– Tell me how that picture strikes you, Piper. Suss that out.
He's modeling it after his high school senior photos from like 1983.
Dude, this is almost
scary. I think that shirt even has puffy sleeves.
It does have puffy sleeves. And now that you mentioned like the mob thing, I'm afraid like if we keep talking about this, we're going to get a knock on our door at some point.
Yeah, we're going to end up
going to be some dude standing there.
We're going to end up in the East River, boy.
Dude, seriously, man. It's like Mystic River all over again.
Is there anything on here that says where he lives? Just like general town. Like I feel like he must live in like Spokane, Washington, or something.
Ashland, Ohio.
Contact. Let's see. We're looking at the contact us page. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
What?
Yes, Carmen life coaches out of Tulsa. He clearly made some poor life decisions to land there.
Dude, I feel like he runs Tulsa though. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, Tulsa's if Carmen, you go into Tulsa, that's his like town.
That's his. He owns this town. OTT,
man. Yeah, OTT, man. When you talk about Tulsa,
absolutely, dude. You go into Tulsa and you want a table at a restaurant, and Carmen is your life coach. You're not waiting in line in Tulsa. Is all I'm saying. Boys, let me frame this question to you another way. Scale of 1 to 10. I don't know. I don't know if I even want to ask this because I don't want to offend anybody. But okay, let me say it this way.
It never stopped us before.
Who would you most want to get life coached by? If you had to have one life coaching session with anybody, who would it be? Who would you want like life and future advice from?
Like, are you saying like to be funny? Like somebody that you would never really want it from, but you would love to just sit down and get it from them because it would be funny.
Yes. Is that what you mean? Or serious. You can go serious. You can go earnest.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, all kidding aside, Piper, he's done well in that he's been the only Rolling Stone to like – kind of continue rehabbing his image such that he's still relevant. You know what I mean? He's still the one that like people talk about and people feel kind of.
Well, and he's still alive, which is miraculous.
I think the other ones are actually still alive too, but kind of barely, more in like a barely way.
Dude, they're all alive except for I think one of the dudes that died early on. You know, yeah, they're all still kicking.
So what would a Keith Richards life coaching sesh look like?
I mean, I would hope that he backed up whatever points he was making with lots and lots of stories. Yeah. So, you know, let me tell you about this one time. And mainly I just like I sort of picture, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow in Keith Richards clothing telling me about his life on the road with the Rolling Stones in the 60s and 70s. And
I've never done life coaching, but I sense that one aspect of this whole relationship is that. So you meet with a life coach, let's say you meet with Keith Richards and you begin to sort of like adopt one or two of the like personal flourishes or affectations of Keith Richards, because what you're really buying
it's like every young reformed preacher watching famous preachers, they absorb one or two of those traits and those mannerisms and they begin to mimic them in all aspects of life.
So what is it about Keith Richards that you would absorb? What's the mannerism?
I just want to be as cool as Keith Richards when I'm like 72, you know, how many people have like swagger at 72 or 77 or whatever he is? Like, he's got swagger and he's old.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
True story. Big R, who would you want to be life coached
by? Dude, I don't know, man. I just think I'm so like not into that whole gig, you know, in general, but like just I would want to do it with some.
Are you implying
not at all.
Piper, on the other hand, is very into life.
Yeah, coaching. I'm implying that you are, Pipe, because you chose Keith Richards. So, yeah, that felt like a serious choice for you. But, dude, I don't know, man. I'd want to get somebody on the Newsmax list, dude. Like, I would love to sit down with, like, Furtick or Kirk Cameron or, like, Franklin Graham Jr. or one of the – I would love to sit down with them and them think that I'm serious and just ask them questions and just like see where they go, and then try to see if I could like reroute it a little bit and kind of make it a little funny to where at some point, it, you know, the whole thing would just like fall apart and collapse.
That would be interesting.
Like, I want to end with giving them like life coaching stuff.
Yeah, if the contest is how long can you keep a straight face while being life coached, that, I mean, that sounds like a fun game. Like, pick somebody off that top 100 list, and it's like you have to like place bets on, is it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes? Like, how long can you go?
That's what I'm saying. I think it would be super funny to get some guy in there that would be the last guy you'd want life coaching from and just see what they have to say. But like, ask questions that are really hard for them to sort of like get their head around. Yeah. Like, to where you like start flustering them and they don't even know what to say. Like, that would just be fun.
Dude, so on like kind of a semi-serious level though, and Big R, I'll throw this to you because you're a man of the cloth. Isn't life coaching like, isn't it just sort of like discipleship? Shouldn't we be doing this anyway, like for each other, and people should be doing it for us? We should be doing it for other people. I mean, isn't that kind of what like discipleship is?
Yeah. I mean, in the context of the local church, yeah. It's just disciple making and pastoring at the end of the day, for sure. Yeah.
It seems like really expensive mentorship without the actual relationship.
Yeah, you
know, because like if you have a mentoring sort of relationship or so where you have a mentor, like they are coaching you on life, like life decisions about relationships and about money and about your faith, and I mean, which is, you know, and that therein lies the discipleship aspect. Life coaching seems like buying a mentor.
It is, because typically what you're it totally is, man. Because what you're trading on, when some guy gets to that level, you're trading on the influence that he has had because he has been successful in whatever endeavor, you know, like he's pursued.
Yeah, but that it doesn't qualify Carmen to like tell you whether or not you should keep dating your girlfriend. You know what I mean? You know, you should break up with her. She's bad for you.
But I bet he could give you the top 5 breakup songs.
Yeah, where are you going to get the songs if you don't?
That's the thing. That's what I keep coming back to. Where am I going to get the songs? Where am I going to find a breakup song if not?
That's what I'm saying. You know,
I don't know. They're so hard to find.
They are.
I just asked Taylor Swift. They're so hard to find.
Exactly. Boys, we have time for one more quick topic, and this was via one Barnabas Piper. Here it is. Why do Reformed pastors love to use the phrase moralistic therapeutic deism? Who the blank knows what this means? And having been in Reformed churches, I can tell you that I've heard that selfsame phrase many, many times. Big R, you are a Reformed pastor. You're the only Reformed pastor on this program. Do you use the phrase moralistic therapeutic deism? And second question, can you interpret that for us in plain speak? Can you tell me and Piper what that means?
Baby, first off, would I be a Reformed pastor if I didn't use that at least once or twice a month?
I feel like it's the kind of thing you rail against. Do you rail against it?
You're supposed to rail against it, okay. And you're supposed to think that Tim Keller coined it, but he actually just quoted somebody else on it.
Okay.
And the big idea is that me, like every other Reformed pastor that's ever quoted it, I have no idea what it actually means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piper.
I mean, I think when you – yeah, the I get all confused when we get to the therapeutic and the deism part. Mm.
See, I actually do know what it means. I just think it's one of the stupidest phrases to use for a pastor because it is a glowing neon sign that says, congratulations, I went to seminary or I read a book. And it communicates exactly nothing to anybody you're trying to communicate to, except other pastors who are now in a pissing match.
I mean, it's really just a fancy word for – it's a fancy word for legalism at the end of the day is really all it is.
Yeah. Well, it's – yeah, moralistic meaning you think you can make yourself righteous. Therapeutic meaning like instead of having your soul transformed, you are going through sort of behavioral therapy. And deism meaning that, you know, God created everything and set it in motion, but he is distant. And so you're sort of functioning as your own God.
I mean,
so
dude, that was insane.
Piper sat through a couple reforms.
You're just trying to move past that so quickly. Baby, don't let Pipe move past that so quickly, because what he just did was as amazing as his reviews, as his ad campaign at the beginning of our program. Man. That was insane.
Piper might know more like reform stuff than anyone because of like the sheer volume of it that he sat through in his life. You know what I mean?
The sheer DNA that's built into his blood, you mean? Yeah, I would.
I'm not even talking about DNA. I'm not talking about, you know, nature. I'm talking about nurture. You know, like this stuff is like, it's it's infused into Piper. You know what I mean?
But I mean, baby, did you hear the way? Did you so hear sad. The way he just broke that down without?
No, like, I did. Of course, I did.
I mean, there was no thought, no thought. Other, it was literally right there at the like the front of his mind, and he just broke that thing down in like 10.6 seconds.
Yeah, that was incredible.
That was amazing. Oh, Piper, are you still there, dude? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just I'm. Well, I'm blushing, which doesn't come through on the air very well. And then I'm a little bit discouraged because of how much reform
because you
stuff
asked
that I know.
In your original question, who knows what this means? And the answer happens to be you. Is that well, why you're a little the, weird about it, dude?
No, the point of the question was who that you are like if you're trying to communicate a message to somebody,
right,
who knows
just
what
jargon.
That means?
It's just like insider language. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's total insider.
Yeah, it and it's not, I mean, and it's like a string of insider language such that it's, I mean, it's like listening to a computer programmer talk. If you are familiar with like browsing on the internet, where you're just like, I think those are English words, but I'm not even sure. And that's that. It just bugs me because people use it. Because it's a really concise way to say, like, this is a belief system that's opposed to the gospel, because it is exactly opposed to the gospel, but it communicates none of that to 99% of the people who are sitting there.
You have to explain it like you just did, but I don't know that anybody could ever explain it as good as you just did, including the person that coined the term, whoever that is.
I'm Do we know who that was? Can I look it up? Keller is the first person I saw use it.
Hang on, just give me like about 10 or 20 minutes to type that word out.
I feel like I'm okay with Keller using it. I'm okay.
Sociologist Christian Smith.
Smitty.
Yeah,
Christian Smith.
See, if a sociologist is using a phrase, then it probably is not something that just transitions neatly into your distressed wood pulpit or cafe table or whatever it is you preach from.
You know what, man? I have to do this right. It wasn't just Christian Smith. Wait for this, boys. It was Christian Smith and Melinda Lundquist Denton.
Oh,
I know you guys know her well.
Dude, that had Lundquist, you know, Melinda written all over.
Big fan.
Man. How
big
is Melinda fan. Doing, boys? Is she all right? We haven't talked to her in a while.
She's probably a little distressed she didn't That's make true. That top 100 list.
That's true. How different would that list be if a reformed person wrote it, and would it only be like 12 people? Because I think that's what it would be.
Yeah, all the women would be in the
would
bottom
there
be half.
All the women, I think that's the one woman. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like Jen Wilkin.
Yeah. And then, there would be questions like, does Beth Moore cut it? It depends exactly on how reformed this person is.
You'd have like Jen Wilkin, Kathy Keller, and Jackie Hill Perry getting like honorable mention, but only because she's just young and she isn't quite in yet, you know? Yeah.
Pipe, what's the reformed Mendoza line? How reformed do you have to be called reformed, but you're not like really super reformed?
Oh, goodness.
Who is that person? I want to know so that we can rank accordingly.
Well, I mean, it's not the Passion Conference. Like, you know, so you have to think about like I think about this in terms of sort of tribes, like who are they associated with? So it's not Passion because there are speakers at Passion who like they're just not part of the Reformed tribe. So it's got to be something else above that. Is it like guest posting on the Gospel Coalition or like having your book reviewed by the Gospel Coalition? Does that cut it?
Yeah, that helps, man.
Man, well, having your book reviewed positively, because they will destroy some books too. But let's see. I don't know. Because the line is changing as well. Because they, you know, like when there was a time when like Beth Moore was very clearly not part of the Reformed camp, but she is. I think she's much more welcomed by many now than she would have been before because people are like, oh, wait, she's one of the best Bible teachers in the country, even though she doesn't really talk Reformed theology at all. I don't know what the Reformed Mendoza line is. What do you think, Ron?
Man, I was thinking while you were saying that, but I mean, gosh, man, I mean, Moore's a good example of that, right? Like everybody's afraid, but like, you know, Russell Moore's like liking all of her tweets now. And, you know, so you get that whole thing where it's kind of starting like that. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Man, we need to think about this a little bit. Let's think about it and then we'll make our own list.
Ooh,
next app.
I like it. I like it. That's good radio.
Yeah, let's make our own list. Let's compile our own list.
Do like a do like an in or out list. Like, so are they in or are they out?
In and out list. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what everybody can look forward to.
Boys, we've accomplished a lot today on the program. This has been good. Little life coaching, little top 100. Now we have a little homework to kind of work on our own reformed top 100 list, which will be like top 12, as you said, Big R. We have wandered to and fro throughout this episode, gentlemen. Until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hello, I'm Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we are the host of Life After Addiction podcast. What we believe is that addiction is not a surprise to God.
That's right. We discuss addiction from a biblical worldview and how true freedom comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolute freedom from addiction, the secular worldview of once an addict, always an addict, is just not true. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, subscribe to Life After Addiction at lifeaudio.com.